Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com. /awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Hi, friends, and welcome to the Papaya Podcast. I'm your hostess, trying her mostest, Sarah Nicole, and each week I'm going to be dishing out some sweetness mixed in with some seeds of wisdom or something like that. So get ready to get inspired, get candid, get real, because we are all in this digital space together.
All right, everyone, welcome back. It is an episode of Ask the Neighbors, which we announced would be a monthly podcast segment, and then we forgot to schedule the second one, so we're a little late. It's not scheduled. We're just going to slip them in when we slip them in. No, we will eventually iron out the kinks of getting this in a proper schedule. I feel like March just snuck up on us, and that's okay.
Can I share something with you?
Yeah.
I'm wearing my eyeliner from Brienne's party still. And the same hair. This eyeliner has gone on since Monday, and I have not wiped it off.
When I was a teenager, I was really bad at doing that, like leaving my makeup on and sleeping with it.
Yeah, me too at 40.
And then I went to the eye doctor at one point, and I'd been getting styes in my eyes a lot, and he took like a magnifying glass to my eyelashes, I had to do like this whole lid care thing.
Don't.
And it was like they were very, like all of my eyelashes were getting infected. Please. Because I wasn't washing it off.
I can't have someone tell me that I have like dust mites in my eyes.
You might have dust mites. No, I don't think that's it. I just think it's like they get congested like anything else. But I feel like every once in a while doing it is not that big a deal.
I feel like people are either a raccoon or they're a fish. They're like sleek like a fish. Or they're like a human trash bag, like a raccoon. And I am a raccoon. And that's why my eyeliner is still on my eyes.
The best part of that party, besides celebrating Brienne, was when we all started discussing if we were going to be a furry, what we would choose. And Shane going off about how he would be a slug. Did you hear that?
No. And that is truly alarming that he could go with any animal on the face of this earth. And he went with a slug.
Slug.
And also, slugging is a beauty term now.
It is. I know.
There's too many connotations to what a slug would do.
There's not just the slugging. There is snail, like the, what's it called? Like whatever the goop is, people put it on their skin.
Okay. That's like not for me personally, but
I know a certain somebody who is listening to this podcast right now that definitely uses the snail stuff on her face.
Okay. Could someone please comment if they use snail stuff on their face, please?
And is it like, are we able to disassociate enough from it being snail things if it makes your skin slugly lovely?
Hang on. And how are they collecting it? Is there a snail farm somewhere?
Yeah. Too much to think about. Don't like
it. How do they collect the slime?
I don't know.
But I digress.
All right. Well, confession done. Let's get into what has been asked of us this week. I'm just going to let you know right off the bat that we got some really big questions come into the podcast email. We have encouraged this. Send in your questions, your confessions, whatever. You can be anonymous to podcast@thebirdspapaya.com. But we got some really, really big, heavy ones, and we can't do them all or we would be here forever. So we're going to sort of mix in some of those big ones with some of the little ones that work throughout the, throughout the shows.
Especially because we're only doing this like kind of once a month.
Yeah.
I feel bad because people have sent in like very personal stories that are important to them and we want to get to them. But I mean, it might take a year.
Yeah. And I also don't think we're going to do questions that we don't feel like we can. I don't want to tell somebody's entire story that they wrote in and then us be like, and we have nothing. Like, that is legally outside of our realm. It is out of our realm of experience. So we are reading all of the emails and we're going to answer the ones that we are ready to take on the advice for.
Okay. So we had a question of someone who just wanted to know the origin of how we became friends as neighbors. But also her question is, she'd like to hear more about how we developed a friendship because she has a couple of neighbors that she's looking to build community with, would love to hear our story and in perspective on being neighbor friends or neighbors to friends. Shall I tell my perspective first?
Okay.
Okay, so my perspective is we met at the bus stop because our kids go to school together, used to go to school together. They're all over the place now. But so we met at the bus stop and I remember looking at you and thinking like, oh no, like too pretty. She's going to be a raging bitch. I'm not just going to not step foot near her. Like absolutely not. And then we were talking more and then I realized we had like a lot more in common than I thought. Also realized you were not a bitch. So apologies for me for judging you based on your looks. And then I don't know what caused the jump. I think I noticed that you weren't coming to the bus stop as much.
Yeah.
And you were waiting in your car. And I remember one day Scott came home and he was like, do you know Sarah from the bus stop is famous? And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, I think she's on Instagram. Like she has 30,000 followers. Like she is famous. I was like, wow. So I went and I looked and I was like kind of looking through what you were going through. And I was like, I feel like she's going through a lot more than I realize, like just at this bus stop. So I remember I ran down to the bus stop and pounded on your window.
You did.
And you rolled down your window and I was like, hi, I just think that you're doing a really great job. So good for you. And then you're like, thanks. And then I think you asked me to a farmer's market, like a date.
Did I?
Yeah. You were like, I'm going to the farmer's market. Do you want to come with me? Well, and I was like, okay. Yeah. And then we just kind of clicked. Like it didn't ever feel awkward.
That's true.
And so my advice to this woman, I would say one person is going to have to bite the bullet and make an overture.
Yeah.
Like someone is going to have to say, I am going to a farmer's market. Do you want to come with me?
Yeah.
I am going to walk my dog. Do you want to walk with me?
Yeah.
I'm running to Costco. Do you want to come with me? Like someone's going to have to make the first step. It is just like dating.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just found that we naturally clicked and I actually just liked you as a person, which is hard to find as an adult.
I was just going to lean into this. Making friends as adults is not the same as when you do when you're kids. Because when you're kids, you are so expectant and accepting of everybody's little weird differences. And then when you get older, I feel like we get hardened and we're like, that doesn't work for me. Where if you grew up with somebody, you're like, oh, that's just so-and-so. Yeah. She's just like that. And then when you meet people when you're older, we can get a little bit like walls up about things. I remember with you, your daughter, I think, is the one that mostly bridged the gap because my hair was often like pastel colors.
She thought you were a Disney princess.
She thought I was a princess and that sort of forced us into a lot of conversation. And like our kids kind of became friends. It was just like one of those things that naturally progressed that way. But then also, going through stuff, the one thing that I found with divorce is nobody knew what to do with me. I'm going through divorce. I've been married to somebody for 11 years. Obviously, all our friends are mostly couples friends.
Yeah.
And people that we both knew. So everyone was just sort of hands off. And I didn't, like, I had friends for sure, but it was very different. And I think it was very refreshing for me to have somebody who was not from that chapter and not with it. I didn't have to, like, go into it.
It wasn't a couple friend.
It was just somebody outside of that bubble that I could just hang out with. And I do think that one thing that's interesting about us is while we do like games night and things like that, initially all of our hangouts were mostly errands and going to the park, which is just like fits into your life that you already have. We live down the street from each other.
Our kids hung out.
Yeah. I think it naturally progressed from things like, hey, we're going to the park. Do you want to come? Hey, I'm going to the grocery store. Do you want to come? Like all of those types of things. And then I started dating Shane and
Scott, we were around when you were still married previously.
Yes. And so when Shane and Scott met, they were very enamored with each other.
Lightning in a bottle.
They were so excited. It was like watching somebody fall in love. They just clicked. They really clicked. And they still are like just very close as guys. Like they're sometimes rare to see in men,
see two men as adults, which is key to click and be able to talk about not just like surface level things like news or sports. Like they talk about
the
life. Widest variety of things.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of their individual life decisions that they've made have been often impacted and influenced by each other. I was noticing that the other day because I had the little camera on Lemmy. So we were like hearing all the things. And in the background, I didn't obviously post this part, but in the background, you could hear the two guys talking about some of their stresses. Yeah. And I was like, they use social opportunity to like have these bigger, deeper discussions. Yeah. Just like we do a lot of times, but I just think it was obviously a little bit of geographical.
Yeah.
We had that plus. I think it also was nice that I was getting into a really busy phase of life. You were very available.
Yeah.
And we were able to fit that a lot easier. And then it naturally progressed into, do we want to hang out and do a board game night? And then that's become our life.
And I will add, you both do have to be, you don't have to be, but it works, I think, that we're both easygoing.
Fair.
Like, I would never be upset or insulted if you were too busy to hang out with me.
Yeah.
And you were never upset if I was like,
that's not true.
Flat out, I don't want to do that.
That's
not
true.
Or I'm busy. Oh, what?
With your current kids' schedules, I'm often upset.
Okay, with hockey, yes. But that's when it interferes with the game night.
Your hockey schedule has interfered with our life a lot. And I do like to complain about it.
That's fair.
You becoming a hockey mom was a big no.
But you're never truly jealous if I'm like, I can't spend time with you right now.
No. We're very easygoing that way for sure.
But yes, you do really dislike the hockey. That's fair.
It's just so much. And it's so intrusive in my social life with you.
I know.
So I just get to be mad about it sometimes.
Okay, fair. So yeah, that's what I would say. And also, get comfortable with the fact that with making new friends, sometimes there is a rejection involved.
Yeah.
Like sometimes you might try out hanging out with a person outside of just meeting them in your neighborhood and it doesn't work out and it feels a bit weird and it feels a bit awkward, and that's okay too. Mm. Like what's the point of going through life not talking to anyone just because you're afraid you might get rejected? It'd be nice to look back and think like, I tried to make connections, some work, some didn't. So yeah, I would say one of you just has to make an overture.
I also think one last thing, it's totally cool to make really great adult friends that you see like twice a year or that you hang out with every once in a while. I have friends like that that'll come and stay at my house for the weekend and we hang out and we catch up and then I don't see them again for 6 months.
Yeah.
Not every relationship has to be like, I love watching Kat and Nat, for instance, Hey Girls, but they have this very... I mean, it's amazing to watch their friendship and how close they are and how integrated their lives are. But that isn't necessarily the norm, nor is it consistent for a lot of people. Will have friends that they had babies with at the same time. And then they might have people that because they work together, there's a lot of phases and differences. And then you have friends you meet online that you literally hang out with once or twice, or maybe you ask that neighbor to go for groceries and that works, but you don't hang out again for a really long time. I think that a lot of people, and I struggled with this a lot, really romanticize the idea of what a friendship is going to be. And so we really freak out when it's not this exact
model. It's not all Sex in the City.
It's not all Sex in the City. And we're not always going to have those relationships, or they will ebb and flow. If you haven't listened to it before, I highly, highly recommend that you listen to the two podcast episodes we have about friend divorce, because I think that they both play really heavily into why adult friendships are also difficult, is the fact that going through friend divorce is such a taboo, under-discussed, under-healed part of our lives and our humanity, because every other thing people want to talk about, but with friends, it's either dramatic or it's nothing. And we don't really get a lot of opportunity to discuss that. So I highly recommend those two episodes. If you're somebody who's hesitant or has gone through that and maybe have some walls up, go through that too. But yeah, I think a lot of it, I've had to do this too. Even friends I was a lot closer with, now we see each other just like occasionally. Totally cool. I have to let it go. Like, it can't be that everyone is your best friend all the time.
Yeah. And people have lives and they don't have 24 hours a day to devote to
us. Yeah, some of my friends
even though fully, I would like it.
Some of my friends were fully single and now have like entire families. Yeah. Of course our friendship's going to shift and change. Mine did too. Like, yeah. It's very real. But yeah, I definitely think that your advice is great. Bite the bullet. Ask them to do something. Maybe it's as simple as going to the park or going for groceries or going to the market, and then see if it works from there. Like, you just don't know. There's also Bumble BFF. Yeah. It's like an option. It's like a dating app for friendships. And I know people who have had really good success on that too.
Okay. Do you want to do that long one or a long one that's on my phone?
Let's do that long one, because okay. I think let's dive into it even if we don't have a perfect response.
This is the thing. Sometimes people will send in things that maybe personally I would never have an answer to, but I feel like lots of people probably could relate to this.
Yeah.
So here it is.
We're going to keep this anonymous and just the bare bones details.
Yeah. I took out, she mentioned the towns that she was from, but I took that out. So I am separated from my ex-spouse. And she has three kids with him, mm-hmm. 6, 9, and 12. Mm-hmm. They all live right now currently in a very rural community that's probably like an hour away from here. So they live in a very rural kind of isolated community. She would like to move back to her small hometown that is about an hour away from this rural community. All her friends are there. All her family is there. Right now, she has absolutely no friends or family in this rural community. So she would like to move back home, and she would like the kids to go with her during the week and have their home base be in her hometown with her. They'd move schools, which the kids are okay with moving schools. And right now their custody is like a week on, a week off. So it's 50-50 split, week.
Okay.
So her ex-spouse says no, they will not move. And if she tries to move, he'll change custody to her just being on the weekends. The issue is with her is that he works weekdays into the evening, late at night. Mm-hmm. So he's never actually home when the kids get off school. It's his girlfriend who is home with them, feeds them, gets them ready for bed, with them, which is amazing. But her issue in all of this is, she's deeply unhappy in this community. Mm. She feels isolated.
Yeah.
And she's trying to walk the line of trying not to rock the boat. She doesn't want to make things worse. She also wants her kids to be comfortable and not make them have to choose between a living situation. But she also wants herself to be happy. And she is deeply unhappy right now. So it's like, what do you do?
So this one is a lot to unpack, and something that is truly outside of our realm of understanding, and I think legally as well. I've gone through this, but we both live in the same town. However, I do know that in our separation agreement, there is things about where you are living and if we're in the same area. We live in the same town, but we don't live in the same areas of it. And I guess my thing is with the week on, week off, how are they supposed to be getting to school? And if your separation agreement is stating this already, and a big part of this is that separation agreement, it would be contesting the entire thing. That's not always easy to go about. I know that this is not the cleanest and best answer, and I know it's not fun, but I don't know. Let's just say that the opportunity to move isn't there.
Yeah.
I would still really, really encourage her to figure out ways to get into that other town and spend as much time and find that support where she can while this whole question mark of transition is going on. I know that a really fulfilled mother is going to be the best mom she can be. And so I empathize. I want her to be around her friends and family. And I also don't know what the answer will be in this situation, especially when, I mean, it's complicated. It really is. I think it must be a lot different here too, because I know I watch a lot of families online that they're separated from their partners.
Yeah.
And they're in like different states, and they have to figure out like that
whole
thing.
How to make it work.
It could be worse and it could be better, but I think ultimately it comes down to whatever the answer is, how can you find those pockets of making sure that you feel the best you can within this situation? Because it might be that because you've already been in this community, I mean, and roles reversed, And I think we have to consider that with the 50-50 custody, if the roles were reversed and he was asking to take the kids to another city.
Right.
And that's why a lot of these rules are set up. I don't know what the rules are. This is why I'm being very delicate about talking about it. What I am encouraging is that if it happens that she has to stay in the town where they currently are and continue the co-parenting situation that has been set up, I want her to find the pockets for her. I want her to figure out what she's going to do on those off weeks.
Okay.
I want her to start creating a social plan. I want her to start just pouring into herself every minute that she is not with custody of the kids. And I think that that's going to be new. And I think it's going to be maybe a little bit interesting and difficult at first, but I think it's going to work out. And I think you have to believe that. And even if it's a short-term thing, I mean, the kids are going to eventually grow. It's not the best solution, but maybe a few years down the road, there is a different conversation and things change again. So just keep that hope, keep that positivity alive, keep yourself going the best you can, because I don't know what your outcome is going to be, but I do know that you can get through this. Like, you can figure this out. And even if it's not the most ideal in the world.
Yeah. And I am always a big fan. And again, I have no experience or no knowledge with like divorce and separation and custody, but I would say in general, you have to control the controllable.
Yeah.
So if there's certain things part of this custody that is not controllable by you, you cannot control your ex-husband's reaction to your requests or to you wanting to move. But if you are truly miserable, I mean, I definitely think, like Sarah said, you need to maybe seek support of counsel and relook at your custody agreement and see if there's any way that you could move or if something could shift. But that's something that a lawyer and like courts would kind of have to decide. And so within that, definitely, like, I totally agree. Trying to find the pockets of happiness that you can and controlling what you can control. But
I also don't know that it's great for the kids to be commuting an hour each way on the off weeks. So I do think it would be like, thinking about the kids here, this is something that when we initially set up our custody schedule, the kids transition middle of the week. And I've always, my heart has hurt for them in the fact that I didn't think about when they were older, how hard that would be to switch in the middle of the week.
Fair.
So really, I think it's still all fair and good, but I do think it would be a complete restructuring of the schedule. And it might be that, I don't know, like weekends are given up, or I don't know what those things are.
Yeah.
But in a 50-50, it's really hard to find that 50-50 when you've got school in the middle of the week. And I know that we have figured out, honestly, as in even in how unperfect a custody schedule can be and how I've maybe had regrets about my own, I also have watched my kids thrive, be honor roll students, lead really good lives, have great social lives, have really great relationships with both sets of parents and homes.
Yeah.
And ultimately it does work out. So I hope that for her as well. And I just know it can be really hard when you're going through such a transition to want something to really work out. And also knowing that you have to make a decision with somebody that you're no longer partnered to. And that can be difficult. It can be difficult to feel like somebody is holding you back from the life that you want to live. And then I also, you know, like there is that little bit of like, it's tough for sure.
But we love you.
Yeah. Hope you're doing great. I think you got this, and I think you're going to do amazing with however this turns out.
Okay. Love that. And then the next one, someone who has an issue with an in-law. So it says, I have an issue. So my husband and I had a baby in November of 2023. His parents still have not come to meet the baby as we live in Alberta and they are in Nova Scotia. His mom says she thinks it's disgusting that we are asking they stay in a hotel while they are here. We live in an apartment without a spare room. So I legit do not have the space to host overnight guests. It is a one-bedroom apartment. We have offered to cover the cost of the hotel as well. In my eyes, I love staying in a hotel. It's like a vacation. I'm a first-time mom and postpartum has been hard. I like my space. So her question is, am I overreacting? Do I give them our bed and we just sleep on the couch? I'm just lost. My husband is upset that they haven't met their grandchild, but also I don't think I'm asking that much of them.
No, you have really good freaking boundaries here. You know, I'm sorry, but you are the ones with a baby. I find it shocking how many parents with newborns will be asked to go, I'm just glad that they're not asking her to hop on a plane and
go to Nova Scotia,
and figure that out. No. Like, You have offered every accommodation, including a hotel stay. I'll be honest, there's been times where we have done that. We've had people coming to the area to visit and we didn't have capacity to host. Yeah. And it was too much. And we set them up in a hotel very close to our home and they showed up in the morning. Getting a good night's rest. You are the one with the newborn. You should not be going on a couch and offering them your bed. That is just no.
Like, and I want
you're not
to
an
that.
Asshole. You need to know that.
It should not be you saying that to her. It should be your husband.
Yeah.
Because if those are his parents, he should take the brunt of like them being a little bit mad at him versus you. You should not have to be the bad guy here.
Yeah.
So I would need your husband to just call them and say, we love you so much. I want you to meet the baby. It is actually really important to me. But we physically do not have the space to have you stay with us. We're offering to pay. Please don't make this a thing. Like, please just come and meet your grandchild.
Yeah.
We want you to meet the grandchild. We want to spend all day with you. You just can't sleep here. But that needs to be on your husband to say that.
Yeah. And I honestly, like, there's no way of looking at this where you're not overreacting, first of all. Like,
no.
I feel like she's almost like, not like being gaslit a little bit. Like, in what world are you being an asshole when you're literally offering to pay for a hotel for somebody to stay in? Like, that's the best accommodations possible. Like, the only world I can imagine this is like that they've just had it. They had an idea in their head what it was going to look like for them to visit, and that's not happening. But the fact that they, because it's slightly different than what they had envisioned, would rather just not meet the child at all is really just a bit of a relationship red flag. And I do think that if you were to bend on this, I would be worried about what this is. A newborn baby that they have not come out to see by their own choice and by their own opportunity that they have been given, and instead, because of where they would sleep, have chosen not to meet the grandchild.
Yeah.
Like, where's the priorities here? If you were to say, okay, sleep in our bed, we'll sleep on the couch with our newborn, what's next?
Yeah, and I just feel bad because I know disappointing family is a really, really shitty feeling.
Yeah.
It's not good. You don't feel great about it. But also, your boundary is a valid boundary. And if they get so livid and so angry at you over a very rational boundary, I hope you can stick to your guns, because that is a very, very normal thing that you've asked of them.
Yes. It's very reasonable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
We solved it.
Solved it.
The problem's not going to happen anymore.
We've been talking a lot lately about a very specific snack that I have also integrated into my smoothies, salads, baked goods. Yes, we're talking about prunes, but not just any prunes. We're talking about California prunes, because California prunes are an under-the-radar superfood. That's right. They are richly packed with antioxidants, vitamins, minerals, supporting bone, heart, and gut health, and boost your overall immunity. But why are we saying California prunes? Well, when you look for prunes, look for ones that say product of USA or product of California on the packaging. That way you know you're finding premium quality prunes. And they're so versatile. Like I said, throw them in a smoothie, have them as a little snack, throw them in your baked goods. Actually, in baked goods, it actually works in many recipes as a sugar and butter substitute if you puree them. There's so many different ways to implement prunes into your life. And one serving of prunes, which is about 4 to 5 prunes, is packed with 3 grams of both soluble and insoluble fiber, if that is something that you're looking for, because that helps promote healthy gut bacteria, which I hope we can all work towards. Prunes, if you haven't tried them, they are moist, chewy, sticky, delicious, and have a really sweet, earthy taste. Trust me, you will be surprised at a prune if you haven't had one, because I didn't have one in my adult life until I think last year, maybe the year before, and now I love to have them as a little snack. But for more information, recipes, and nutritional facts, you can visit californiaprunes.ca. That's right, californiaprunes.ca. You're going to find so many cool recipes and all of that nutritional information that you might need as well. Thanks so much to California Prunes. They are a sponsor of this show, a big reason that we get to do this really cool thing week after week. So thank you, California Prunes, and let's get back to the show.
Okay, this one, background is we are a friend group of moms as our kids have gone to school together since kindergarten. We met pretty regularly throughout the time as our group. We would have dinner, coffee, general nights out. We do various times, dates to meet most schedules for people who can accommodate. So we'll do like coffee during the week or dinners so that everyone can get out to most of them. The situation is we have one friend who is never able to make it, and we only see her now at school pickup. Her reasoning she can't make it is because her husband won't let her. For what she has shared with us, he is very controlling with her time. Like if she works late one night, he considers that a night out and he wouldn't let her go out again the next week. He also seems very controlling on what she can wear, how she does her hair. And this is all info from her that she has confided in this.
Okay.
So her questions are, how do we help her? How do we support her? Because she seems so unhappy. But the follow-up question is, when she's not at the meetups, the conversation generally turns to her and her situation. And I'm feeling very uncomfortable with that because it's generally the same couple of moms that is always bringing it up, and it just feels like gossip. So how do I help her and support her? But also, how do I shut down kind of this gossip talk where they're talking about her where she's not there?
As somebody who's been gossiped about in a lot of groups.
Qualified to answer.
I will say this. First of all, there is nothing that you can say that's going to fix the situation. But you being there is going to mean a lot. I think anybody who's gone through anything in their life where they're like, nobody knows the full situation, when I tell you, everyone's going to judge you. Like, I mean, watch the show Made. You can understand a lot more of how people get stuck in these abusive situations. And the reality is, having somebody who's just there, who you can vent to and isn't going to judge you for your time of transition, I think is very important. I say the mom group thing because I've like sort of been there. Somebody once like DM'd me and was like, our mom group was talking about you and how this, that. And I was like, here's the thing. If you're going to talk about another person when you're in a group setting, be solutions based. Like don't have conversations unless you're going to talk about how, you know, listen, I had a conversation with her this week. Here's an update. I think we have to continue to be supportive towards her. Maybe each of us could take on texting her once a day, things like that. Like, be solutions based, but don't try and use her situation as entertainment.
You don't want it to be like fodder for them to like get this adrenaline boost of talking about
it. But I also think it's important for women to discuss and understand. I see the power of when women come together for a collective cause.
Yeah.
But don't let it be entertainment. Let it be something that's activating and like and compassion and empathy and things to, how can you help her without, you're not saving her. That's a big thing. It's like, I think a lot of people think they can say one thing and that person's going to walk away from that bad situation.
And then it's going to be everything's easy for them.
Yeah.
No, like, because there's no financial ties and like all this shit.
None of you have any idea what she's actually going through. Like you said, financially, the share of the home, children.
Does she feel safe to leave?
There's a lot of complexities.
Yeah.
And she's probably giving you what she's comfortable sharing, which is maybe the bare bones of it. And I think if you can just figure out all how to remain friends with her and not use her situation as entertainment, elusive? No. I guess entertaining as it might feel and can be, I just think that it's okay to have the conversations of updating and, you know, there's no avoiding that. If you heard something new, I think you shouldn't be pushing that aside. Just make sure it's like leading in a direction that is more of understanding rather than entertainment. I think anybody who's ever been in gossip situations knows the difference.
And it's hard because if I'm going to be completely honest, gossip is exciting.
It
gives you this little thrill.
Yeah.
But I think in this case, you need to be willing to be the quote unquote bitch and just be like, hey, we need to stop talking her or stop talking about her when she's not here, unless it is like, how can we help her? Because this isn't helping her. Talking her like about this, like, you're just gonna have to be the bitch and be the one to say it. And they'll probably talk about you behind their back if is what they're like. They'll probably talk about how you're uppity and how like you should whatever.
I mean, I've been in situations before in groups of people and one person's like, I don't feel comfortable talking about this, and then everyone kind of gets this like gut punch of you're right, and we're gonna get stuck in those little cycles sometimes, or we get into these little tizzies of talk. I also think that there's something to be said about having safe spaces to vent and talk about it, which this woman clearly has with these women. Yeah. So I think anything that you're discussing with each other, as long as you're willing to say those exact same things to her face and make her aware that, like, hey, we're here to support you. We've been chatting. Like, yeah. we think about you. We talk about you a lot. Make her feel seen and heard and not being used as gossip entertainment. I think are very, like, when I was going through to my divorce, people would be like, we literally had entire conversations about what's going on and like how we can support you. That comes off very different than finding out everyone had this entire sidebar of things that weren't true, weren't real, were just like fun for them to speculate about. That is a very different thing. I love if my friends feel like I am in not a great situation and they gather together and are like, how can we be, how can we be better for her? That's very different. So I think you have to also differentiate what the gossip is, what it's working towards, and go from there. But I think you can be that leader that's like, I'm not comfortable talking about her in an, like, but let's talk about how we can be better supports to her.
Yeah.
You just touched my foot.
I did touch your foot and I really don't like it. And I will say, in terms of supporting your friend, without going into like any details at all, I have someone in my life right now who is currently in an abusive relationship. And as someone trying to support them, sometimes you will feel frustrated and you are going to have to work through that feeling of just leave him, because a lot of the time it doesn't happen. So you have to be willing to be a safe ear for that person to vent.
Yeah.
And it is going to go in these waves of something happens, she vents to you, but then things kind of go like this. And then something happens and she vents to you and it goes like this. And if you're willing to be that person to her that just listens without judgment, without demanding things of her, like, leave him now or I'm doing this, I'm not going to be your friend, I can't support you if you keep staying with him, it's not going to help her leave.
It's actually just driving her more to stay
and isolating her more.
Yeah.
I can understand the frustration though, and that feeling of like,
for sure,
I hate this for you. I hate that you're in this. And the most that I can do is listen to her when she's upset, try to keep things as calm as possible. And then Scott and I are just, quite honestly, like, always ready to go.
Yeah.
So like, if we have to go to her house and help her, we have a set plan that we are able to do that.
Yeah.
So that's kind of all I will say on that. But it's that you have to deal with the fact that you might feel frustrated. But if you're willing, it is really nice for them to have someone who is safe to come to without the judgment of like, why are you telling me this again? Like, why didn't you just leave him? I've told you a million times.
Yeah.
Like, there has to be some kind of safe scenario for them.
Yeah.
That's all I would say on that.
I really think everyone should watch the show Made on Netflix, though. It's a mini series, but it really details how difficult it is for people to leave situations. And also, she might not consider this big enough to leave. Maybe she, you know, like, is just venting and complaining. I mean, I've had friends who have vented about their spouses in ways that I'm like, that is so not okay. And maybe that's just like very normal for them, not excusing the behavior, but it can take some time before you actually see it for what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Might take her a minute. So just freaking be there and keep being one of the good ones that is,
yes,
is there to support her no matter what is going on.
Yes. Agree. Okay. This is the final big one.
Okay.
And it is about coming out to the world. My husband, bisexual, and I, heterosexual, have been in a 3-year relationship with a man, and we were best friends for years previously. He's been in our lives for so long that our son, who is 8 years old, doesn't know a life without him. We are a happy family of 4, just untraditionally 3 adults and 1 kiddo. We have told a few close friends and family that we know to be accepting members of the LGBTQ+ community, but the majority of the people in our lives are unaware of this 3-way relationship. I want so badly to be truthful about who we are, but we fear judgment from a lack of understanding. I think our scenario may be more common than people realize, but I don't think anyone is talking about it. My question is, do we publicly come out to help normalize these untraditional relationships and families, or do we keep it to ourselves to save ourselves possible harassment? That's a big one.
I think it is a big one. And I think that you have to be, I think she already knows that it could go either way.
Yeah.
You might find community and you might find harassment, and I can't predict the future for you.
No. I think the reality is, a bunch of people will talk shit about you behind your back. And more importantly, you have to be willing that someone says something to your kid.
Yeah.
So the only advice I would give is I would let your child be one of the main points of conversation around whether or not you come out. And take this advice or don't. Like, I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying if your child is allowed to have a voice in this, I think that would be really, really cool. Because your child is someone who maybe doesn't have the ability to properly fight back if someone says something to them or they're facing judgment. But monogamy and like a heterosexual cis looking relationship is unfortunately what people consider normal, even though that's not the case. That's not normal. It's just how we've been conditioned to live our lives. So you are living a perfectly normal life. It's just, do you want scrutiny with that or not? If you're comfortable with scrutiny, fucking go for it. But I would, and what I would do is I would be giving my child the voice of whether or not they're comfortable with it, just for me personally.
Yeah, I think there's another part of this too, though, because there are a lot of kids who are raised by queer parents and there is no option to that be out or not.
Fuck, I didn't even think of that.
Right? So like that's one thing that, yes, I do believe because it's like maybe more new information that they would be sort of, that would be important. But also if this is important to you to normalize or feel acceptance around, I don't think that the haters should be able to have that hold on you, but I do think you all need to have maybe prepared conversations with your child. Be ready for the fact that kids are going to be mocked for things no matter what, first of all. So it's not your fault if people are shits. Like that's just.
Or also, I don't want to be negative. Maybe on the flip side, their friends don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
And nothing bad happens. Real. And your kid just happily goes through life with this really cool family.
Yeah.
And no one really calls them on it, right? Like kids are a lot kinder and cooler these days. So honestly, maybe like it would be no big deal. And maybe their kids, their friends' parents might say something and they'll get questioned on it. But a lot of kids really don't care.
Yeah.
Like as long as you're playing with them and you're nice to them, like maybe your child would be totally fine.
I remember years ago, a friend of mine came out with this basically exact situation that she had been in a She was in a polyamorous situation with another male. I think she was actually on the podcast.
Oh, wait, I remember that podcast. Yes.
Yeah. And
they had children.
They did have children. Yeah. So it was a big open conversation of their journey through that. And it was something that I watched the comments, a lot of people didn't understand. And I think that as society changes and as society moves forward, there is going to be a lot of questions. And I think it just depends on how willing are you to open yourself up to the questions, to the potential harassment, but also the opportunity to live your life a little bit more freely, to feel a little bit more comfort, to normalize something that maybe other people have, choose. I think that there's so many different ways about it. And I think ultimately it comes down to where you feel your best comfort and collectively as a family feel the best. And what is your desired outcome? Is your desired outcome normalization? Is your desired outcome more freedom? Is your desired outcome to
be able to be out as a family? Because I was just thinking, like, what if, so they're married, what if their partner like wanted to come to a parent teacher night or like a school event
and feel more
they
involved.
Didn't feel safe to do that. So that would be so lovely for them to be able to go to family events and all be able to hold hands or, you know, I'll just be able to, everyone has the knowledge in the room that we're a cool little unit.
But take your time. Like there's no rush on this decision. There's no rush for anything.
True.
I feel like it's something that's a nag on her heart. And I know that that's a very hard thing to turn your back on. So let that nag at you. Ask those questions. Keep pouring into your why and figure out how you want to navigate this because this is your story. And let's be real. We have no idea what people do in the bedrooms. We have no idea what happens in people's homes. You also don't owe the world sharing everything if you are happy and
that's
you're living
too.
Really great and you want to just keep doing your thing and let people talk if they're going to talk. This society has not earned their place in your bedroom. You're allowed, and in your home, like you're allowed to just live your life if you feel you want to just live your life.
Yeah. I co-sign all of this.
I think it's just a thought bubbles.
I just want them to be happy.
Yeah. I mean, however that's going to work.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think of my friend Jamie a lot, you know, like she was existing in a relationship that appeared heterosexual, cisgendered, and she came out online as trans and has been met with a world of support and a world of hate, but ultimately has helped me and so many other people understand the trans experience and understand how much somebody can go through, because she didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
And so I watch her be a light for so many young trans youth who now know what life can look like for them down the road. And I think it's really beautiful. Jamie, that's just Jamie P on Instagram. Really incredible story, really incredible woman.
I love her more than anything.
Yeah, she's so great.
But I will say too, like, in that sense too, you are opening yourself up to, I mean, to be perfectly honest, the stuff that happens online is truly vile.
It's vile.
It's like a human rights violation, in my opinion. I don't even want to get into it. But yeah, I think Jamie's done amazing things in this world, and she's an amazing, like, kick-ass woman. And yeah, it's so hard because you want space for anyone to just be happy and not have to be a walking billboard for what they're representing.
Yeah.
But also it's important to have representation for kids who can see themselves in the future and be like, I could grow up to be that.
Yeah.
I could grow up to be happy.
Yeah. And so she made decision and she's had to have both happen. And I think that it's gutting to witness sometimes. And it also reminds you that we have so much work to do in supporting LGBTQ plus communities.
Yeah. And I think this is time too, where I would hope all of your friends, anyone who's cis, anyone who's straight, anyone who considers themselves an ally, that would be the time for them to stand the fuck up and loudly support you, shut down anyone who was talking shit. Like, for anyone in that kind of situation, it's your job to say shit. That's all I have to say on that.
Well said.
Thanks. Okay, so those were all our big questions.
All right, do we have any light little ones that we want to just end with?
Okay.
I feel like we had some heavy hits.
Yeah, that one actually relates to something we already talked about. Okay, so someone wrote in the DMs to me, and they wanted to know, actually, we both have a love of Star Wars. So they wanted to know, where did your love of Star Wars come from?
So I'm going to start with, I had a hate for Star Wars. My high school boyfriend, shout out to him, really was such a nerd for Star Wars.
Interesting.
So I naturally was like, I will not have this forced upon me. I hate Star
Wars.
Forced
upon you?
So I declared my hate for Star Wars. But my cousin is a big fan of Star Wars, and he had this like real, quote unquote, real lightsaber, one of the really heavy metal ones. And he had this video of him like swirling it around. And my son was about 2 at the time, and he watched this video over and over and over again. So we started watching Star Wars, and it became Beau and I's little thing that we did together. It was really hard to find the movies. I had to go to a ton of thrift stores to find them, borrow DVDs from people. But we fell in love with the first 6. And then I got to actually go to the theater on opening night when The Force Awakens came out, and got to have that experience with him. But I think what's really interesting is there's so many different ways you can look at Star Wars. And I love that it's such a redemption story. I think it's really cool when you see people who are the bad ones, quote unquote, be good, and vice versa. I think it shows a lot of things that we maybe have experienced in the world. But lately, and I want to do a whole episode on this, but I'm just going to touch on it a little bit now.
Okay.
Stories that stick with you forever that are like the most heartwarming. I want to have a whole episode on like our favorite heartwarming stories. But this, my favorite one, is the hate that the actor who played Jar Jar Binks and Anakin Skywalker faced as they were in the prequels. Because now all of those kids that were watching it, it was the adults who bullied these actors.
Yeah.
But then when they grew up, these kids that were the fans.
And embraced it
and brought them back. The actor who was playing Jar Jar Binks admitted that he was very close to ending his life because of the harassment.
It was too much.
And the Star Wars franchise actually brought him back as a character now. And now he's one of the most loved and adored. People praise him. Hayden Christensen, watching him face that much hate.
Yeah.
And now there's this one video and I cry every time I see it. Where he's in tears almost? He's sitting on a stage and everyone stands up and just roars.
And he looks shocked.
He looks so shocked. Yeah. And he looks so warmed. Mm-hmm. So I think it's not just the movies themselves. It's the way that these actors and people who have portrayed these characters have lived through some of the hardest things and now got to grow up with these kids who now grew up too and are fighting for them. I just think it's one of the coolest stories ever and I love it so freaking much. Star Wars is so special.
I fell in love with it actually in grade 5. I was sick with the flu and my dad went to Blockbuster and he got 4, 5, and 6 on VHS.
Sweet.
And I just blew through them so quickly. And I think what stuck out to me, because ever since I was younger, I've had like a romance loving heart. It was the romance for me.
Oh, I love like that.
The space opera part of it all, whatever. I was just so entranced by the love story. Mm-hmm. And that has been a common theme all the way throughout the movies. Yes. Like it is in essence, partially a romance. And I loved that about it. And I also would like to say justice for C-3PO. He's always been my favorite character. People always shit on him and he's just trying his best. He's a droid. He's doing what he's programmed to do. Okay.
I also, thank you. It makes me so obsessed with men in masks. When I see, like, even if I go to a Comic-Con and okay, there's men kink. Dressed up, like, no. I don't even care what they look like. I'm just like, they are immediately hot to me. If they're dressed like Vader, if they're dressed like a Mandalorian, if they're dressed like Boba Fett, I'm
How in. Far will this go with like a mask and a helmet? What if they're in like a Scream mask?
No, just Star Wars.
Okay.
When I go to Disney, I see them though. Like I literally have to be like, ah. I remember I sent you that video, this one little thing. So the Disney characters have to stay in character. So if they're a villain, they're a villain. They are not going to be nice to you. That's literally their job. And Kylo Ren is walking through the parks with these two stormtroopers and this little girl runs up and grabs his legs and just holds on. And I was like watching him have to not react and just be like acting annoyed by this little child.
Yeah.
And I sent the video to you and I was like, this is my dream. I just want to hug his legs. I don't know. The whole character, I'm obsessed. I love it. I think they're hot. So that's the other part of it. Okay. Romance.
Final question. Do you have any pinch me moments? Can I share you mine? And this is honest.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's not like a career move or anything. For me, my pinch me moment where I was like, this is life and I love it. I was in Walmart with my daughter. She was maybe 3, 4 years old. So she was in the cart and we were pushing her. I was pushing her around and we turned the corner and a worker dropped an entire skid of Diet Coke. It exploded. Diet Coke went everywhere. It was shooting like a geyser. The bottles were like rocketing off like they had Mentos in them. People were fleeing for their lives. A woman threw her child down and just was covering her hair and ran away and left her child. She abandoned her. People were like pushing each other out of the way like a movie. It was like Jurassic Park, but the dinosaurs was the Diet Coke. And so my daughter and I just looked at each other and we locked eyes. And the delight we felt, I'm sorry to say, and people's fear and discomfort around this Diet Coke. This was a pinch me moment where I was just like, I have never been more delighted in life. And my daughter and I have just shared this experience where people have Jurassic Park fled from Diet Coke. And that honestly, I will always remember as a pinch me moment because I felt pure delight in that moment.
That is so perfect. Mine's going to be sentimental.
That's fine. I'm not a sentimental person. You know
I'd
that.
I'd love to say it's one of the Ryan Reynolds and the Ryan Goslings of my interviewing career.
That's a huge career pinch me moment.
The fact that I've done like 2 celebrity interviews and the two were Ryan Reynolds and Ryan Gosling cracks me up. And Simu.
You've done a lot more before. Than two.
I don't know. Okay. This is mine because as many of you know, I bought a trip for our family in 2020. We ended up taking it in 22, near the end of 22. And we brought my parents and our new baby. She was like 1 at the time, but we all went on this trip. I had said, so when I separated from my husband, there's not a lot of like, I didn't have a job to like support myself. I moved in with my parents with my 3 kids and they didn't charge me rent for a year. And that afforded me the legal cost of going through the divorce.
Yeah.
It literally, they were the reason I was successfully able to go through that situation. Yeah. So I always had said that I wanted to thank them in a way that was, you know, take them on a trip somewhere or something like that. My parents hadn't been to Disney in 20 years. They honeymooned at Disney. They brought us when we were kids, but they had never gone, you know, with us. Like it just wasn't something that's happening. And so this initial trip now turned into a much bigger one, bringing my parents. And there was this moment where we walked in and my dad got a little emotional, just like seeing,
yeah,
it's a small world. And he put his arm around me and he's like, I haven't gotten to do this in 20 years. This is so nice. And all I could think about was like, y'all saved my life and I got to take you to Disney and now we get to make all these memories. And I made a reel about it because it was just like this moment of like, we did it. It worked out. And I think sometimes we get so stuck on where we're at and yeah. I don't think we always recognize where we've come from and how far we've come and really thanking the people that get us through. And so that for me was a big moment of like looking at my parents and just being like, you're all so excited that we're at Disney and I'm just excited we're all here. I'm excited that we're whole. I have this beautiful family. I have a home. I have happy, healthy kids. I have a great relationship with you all, which is, I mean, a feat in itself if you ever live with your parents yeah. again in your 30s. It all was just this very big pinch me moment of like, holy shit, we fucking did it. And I will never forget that. And I will always just, it's that trip set off a whole number of trips with my parents again, but has really just stuck with me forever and will forever be my big pinch me moment.
Oh my gosh, I almost cried and Sorry. I don't like to cry. I'm dead inside.
I know.
Can you imagine if you went first and then I went? If you went first and then I was like Diet Coke, this is exactly like, okay, oh my gosh, this is exactly like it. Do you watch Summer House?
No.
There's two new men that have just entered Summer House, Jesse and West. We love West.
Okay.
So they're around a table having a little barbecue and they said, okay, new people, like tell us a fun fact about yourself. And so West went first and he was like, I've been to all 50 states, like, because his parents love to travel. Yeah. He was along for the ride. He's like, yeah, it was great. And that Jesse's like, I had testicular cancer. I survived it twice.
I can't.
Put things into perspective. I really, really just think that you need to hold your loved one close. And, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. Everyone's like, thank you for sharing. And then Wes turns to Sierra and he's like, can you imagine if he went first? And then I was like, I've been to 50 states. And literally we just had that moment with you and I.
Do you want to know one of the worst moments like that I've ever had that actually happened?
What?
We were at Avery's Valentine's. No, it was a Christmas, the holiday party, the ho-ho holiday party where we all dressed up like slutty Santas.
Oh, you all looked so good.
It was so fun. Anyways, we had this game and it's like one of the, it's like a sex card game.
Okay.
Not a sex game as everyone kept describing it. It's a sex card
You're not
game
having
where
an
you
orgy.
Like ask questions that are like in a sexual nature.
Got it.
And the question was, what place and with who is like your dream sexual experience? Okay.
Winston Duke.
Yeah.
Sorry, that
That's
was mine.
What
Winston
thought.
Duke.
I was like
anywhere.
On the set of Star Wars with Adam Driver, who is
on
Kylo
the
Ren.
Set?
Yeah. It was
Could you
like,
imagine like sitting
I just
in
wanted
his
to
chair?
Live that moment. And then fucking Brini goes, you know, what does she answer? In my house with my partner.
Bless
and
her
I was
heart.
Like, bitch, I already went. I already didn't say
I said Kylo Ren.
I didn't say my husband. And now you just said your partner in, and I was like, just to be clear, Shane's answer is Natalie Portman on the set of Star Wars.
Thank
like,
you.
Thank you, Shane. But I will forever, I was like, that was her moment. I was like, you threw us all under the bus when you went last and you said, my partner. Good for her. Great job, Brini. I was so mad.
She's too pure for the world.
She's too pure for the world. It was such a funny answer. But yeah, we had that moment because I was like looking at her like mouth open, like what betrayal.
With Steve.
Not only that, but like the question was asked and the, like you with the Winston Duke, my answer was out of my mouth before.
Yeah,
I don't even have
to stop
no
and think.
Humming and hawing. I knew exactly what I
wanted.
It's
Winston Duke literally anywhere. Anywhere. It could be a doctor's office. I don't care. Ready to go.
Well, that's another episode for us. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Continue to write in your little questions. I know a lot of them have been serious in nature. Feel free to have some fun ones,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it can be juicy sex stuff. Sorry,
sure.
I just want to know everyone's juicy
Maybe
sex stuff.
Maybe we should get
I'm
that card
so
game.
I'm so nosy.
So, yeah, and thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Well, friends, thank you so much for tuning in and listening to today's episode. For more information on this episode, check out the show notes or find us on Instagram at The Papaya Podcast. And if you loved what you just listened to or know somebody who would, please share it. Simply screenshot today's episode in the podcast app and share it to your Instagram stories. And don't forget to tag us. Last but not least, if you'd like to lend your personal support to the podcast, take a moment and leave a review on iTunes. We would be oh so grateful. Tune in next week for a fresh new episode of the Papaya Podcast, and we'll see you then.